you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
Reading from 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. And that was 1 Corinthians 12:12-13.
And that voice, in fact, last week I forgot to mention it, but that was Tom Himmel, who's returning to be a special guest, a part of today's edition of Mark and Friends. But he's an author that I'm going to have on a future Mark and Friends program, a Testimony Tuesday. I have his book in front of me, One Man's Journey to Find a Better World, Michael Rising. And it's by Thomas Hamill. He's an attorney in the Springfield area, and I think you've led Bible Study Fellowship for like a number of years.
6 years.
Six years as a lead teacher, and so getting to know Tom. I have his book in front of me, so as I read this in the coming days on a Testimony Tuesday. But he was with us last week, and I asked him to read again today because I wanted to introduce him to our listeners. And we have Joyce joining us in the studio. I think Annie's back downstairs manning the phones, and some other special guests and some regulars, and we appreciate you carving out time to be available to be listening today. Or maybe you're listening on our archive programs link, so that way you can listen anytime at night or during the day. But you can access this program at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org. Well, last week we were looking at peace and security. Today we're going to look at wholeness. As Pastor Mark Johnson of the Calvary Church in Springfield, taking us through a series.
It's just how to have life to the full.
Having life to the full. Don't we all want to be having that?
It's a kingdom of God principle that Jesus offers us life to the full. Now, what is the pathway to that? We live in a world that tries to tell us a pathway to life to the full, making life meaningful and purposeful. And you find so many people who achieve all those things in the world, and they're still empty. What does the Bible teach us about life to the full?
Now, in my Bible, I have the NIV version, the older NIV version. But anyways, the heading is One Body, Many Parts. Why did you choose this as maybe one of our opening thoughts?
Well, as we talk about wholeness, we have to realize that we were made for relationship. From the very beginning of the Bible, we see that we were made for relationship. Not only relationship with each other, but relationship with God. And so we were created to have relationship, and yet many relationships are breaking down. So I would just ask the people in this room, have you ever had any experience with loneliness? And if you have, can you tell us a little bit about it? I'll tell you about a couple of experiences I had with it. Anybody?
Of course. You think that if you consider yourself as being extremely blessed, have a life full of adventures, you've done so much. The Lord has used you to do so much to bless others. And you would think that you wouldn't get lonely sometimes. But I think that one of the loneliest times for me was after our kids left home. For a number of years, I was a homemaker. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was always accustomed to laughter. Mm. You know, someone telling some kind of story or finding out how was your day or whatever. And the silence became so deafening sometimes. I think that's one of the reasons why I was able to write my book and then to be able to start finding what my purpose was after the children left. Because I had more time to listen, not just to pray for the kids all the time or pray for someone else, but really to pray and then listen to God. And then he would give me all these ideas, even when after I slept and woke up. Mm. So I thank God for that.
Wow. You found your passion.
Yes.
Your passion.
Yeah,
I would tell you about two times in my life when I really experienced a feeling of loneliness. One was on a ministry trip. I'd gone to another country. I'd been invited there. there were two parts to the trip. One was a very evangelistic part. We were speaking to thousands of teenagers every day, and that was going really well. And the other part was in the church, and the culture in that country was very different than the culture I came from. And that wasn't going well. I didn't feel like I was connecting. I didn't feel like I was serving the people well there. I didn't feel like they were receiving me well. I felt like it was just it was just very negative. And I remember one Sunday afternoon being taken to this family's house, and I was going to stay there until the evening service that night. And they all took off. They left me there. And there was no TV there to watch. There was nothing there to do. And if I could have paid $1,000 and been home, I would have paid $1,000 and been home. I remember one time as a young man before I was married, you know, what do you do for a vacation when you're single? You know, maybe get some friends and go someplace, or you go see somebody. You know, I decide I need to get a break, and I decided to go down to Florida, and I went down to Florida and saw some friends. And then I had a couple of days that I was just on my own, and I went up to Disney. I don't know why I went up to Disney, but I went up to Disney, and I'm walking through Disney, and you're going on rides by yourself. You're going into shows by yourself. You're walking through and eating meals by yourself. And I'm surrounded by all these people, and I just had this overwhelming sense of just being lonely. And yet I knew I'm going home in a few days. My family's there. My friend's there. My church is there. We live in a day-to-day where with all of the social media interaction that we have, we're told that young people especially are more lonely than at any other time in our history. That they're depressed by their loneliness. There's conflicts many times in the social media. There's emptiness in it. There's broken relationships. Families are broken. Families are separated. Families are corrupt. Sometimes, it's just what June said, the family dynamic has changed. All the kids have left the house. And we're lonely. And so, Mark, you asked, why do I pick this scripture? Well, this scripture in particular tells us that the body is a unit. Now, this is talking about the church, and we're made up of many parts, and that it's inside of these many parts. God has ordained the church to be a family. The church is not ordained to be a social club. I may join the YMCA, and I may like the YMCA, and I may go there and work out and swim or do whatever I want to do. And then a new club may come into town, and I pick up and I go over to the new club because it's new and fresher and got more convenient to my house or whatever. Many times we treat the church like we treat a club or a restaurant. Where do I want to go today? What do I want to do today? Where the church is really supposed to be the family of believers in this lost world. And that's where I find, we'll talk about purpose in another week. We'll talk about where do we find that at, and how do we find fulfillment in life. We find so many of these things that we need inside the relationships that happen in the church. So God says he takes the lonely and he puts them in a family. What's that family? It's the church. The church is supposed to be the family. And we come together and we're, you know, let's face it, we're at different spiritual ages, we're at different places in life, but we're supposed to break those barriers down and find the wholeness that comes from belonging to something. So that's kind of where that all started at, Mark.
It's kind of unique, Mark, because the experience of this small group that has met on these Wednesdays when we record the Friday edition of Mark and Friends, where we've kind of had some unity and some friendship building and a unique fellowship, friendships being forged through studying God's Word together. And so it's kind of been like a unique small group when we meet, and then we have some snacks and other food in the other room. But one thing I've always been intrigued by, like the concept of love, love exists in relationship, and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So in that triune Godhead, it's kind of mysterious, but there was love. Love existed because there was relationship there. It's mysterious, and yet love exists because God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit have a relationship uniquely. I can't really explain it, but I always thought I delight in that concept that because of the three in one, there is relationship.
Well, yeah. And one of those things that's meant by that is the love, perfect love, has predated everything in the universe. That before anything was created, before God said, let there be light, there was the defining nature of what did exist was love. As we're told, God is love. And so therefore the universe was created out of that. And so everything throughout all of creation, throughout all of time, has come from that origin.
That relationship. This idea that no part of the body can live without connection. If you take any part of the body off of our body and separate it, it doesn't live. This is the illustration that Paul is coming to in Corinthians when he's saying, you know, the body is made up of many parts, and it's not just the ear, it's not just the eye, there's many parts. They're all interdependent upon each other. And so God gifts us to be able to go into a body of believers and to use my gifts to bless other people and to use their gifts to bless me. We're patient with each other. We're loving to each other. We want the best for each other. That's where a healthy church is at. So I've had people tell me, I just can't find a good church. Well, keep going to churches. Keep looking till you find the one. Now listen, most of them are all good in their own right. They may not be good for you, but they're good in their own right. Go find the church that preaches the gospel, that points to Jesus, and where the body of Christ is growing in unity together and building relationship together. Go find, so just every week, so I'm just going to go to a different church till I find someplace that the worship helps me enter into worship, the word inspires me to live for God, their doctrinal statement matches with what I believe to be doctrinally true and with where I stand in life, and get connected to a body of believers and see yourself as a part of something and stay there and serve others. So the pathway, Mark, the pathway for a church to be meaningful is not how well it serves me. The pathway to the church becoming meaningful is how well do I serve that church. Now, when I serve that church well, I find that fullness of God that comes in ministry to others, and it naturally begins to come back to me. And there's connection that happens there. When you're serving a small group as a small group leader, Tom's over here and he's been a small group leader for years at our church. And when you're serving that group, well, guess what? They begin to love Tom. They begin to love his wife. There begins to be a relationship that they begin to stand with each other. They begin to care for each other's problems. They begin to see when each other's in need. They begin to recognize how to encourage each other. So I've watched Tom and his raise his family, love and serve God, and now he's sent them all out all across the country. But he's got another family of believers right in, around his life that are in his life all the time, and he still loves his kids and still communicates with them, sends great pictures out of them. It's wonderful. But as our life changes, the church is that place where we continue to find life to the full. And so wholeness comes from this belonging to something. I don't go and just say, well, I'm here to get served. I go and belong to something, which means I'm going to help build it. I'm going to help strengthen it. I'm going to help strengthen the people around here. I'm going to serve the people around. I'm going to be patient with the weak ones. I'm going to be patient with them. I'm going to be thankful for the strong ones. They're going to be patient with me. And we grow together in the kingdom of God. So many people that are out there lonely, if you're out listening to us today and you're lonely, you know, my greatest appeal to you would be go find a church. Go find a place that when you walk in, you feel at home. When you walk in, you feel welcome. And you may go to a dozen churches that really want you to feel welcome, but for some reason you don't. That's okay. Go find the one where you feel welcome. It's out there. God has it for you. You're going to walk in and say, boy, this, I like this size. I like what they do. I like what they're about. I like what they're trying to accomplish. I want to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. And you go and you get connected and you begin to build relationship.
You know, Mark, I like that you said keep going, because some people might have tried 3 or 4 or 5 churches and then gave up and stop or just watch it on TV or whatever. But you're saying it might take 10, 15, 20. Just keep going. Try different communities. God will have that special place for you to grow.
You know, Mark, I am so thankful for our ability now to put our services online. There are people in our church in particular that their health issues keep them from being able to come to a church service. But they can stay connected to us mm-hmm. by being online. Mm-hmm. And then we have to work at staying connected with them. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, if you're just staying at home because it's convenient, you need to stop being lazy and get up and get to church and build relationships with people.
Yeah,
you say, well, I'd just rather sleep in a little bit later and watch church in my pajamas. Come on, man. Grow up.
Yeah.
Be a Christian. Be a follower of Christ. Get to church. Build relationships with people. There's people who need you, and there's people that you need.
Yeah.
And you're not going to find them sitting on your couch when you could be in church. Now, I'm very sensitive to those who cannot get out the door. They don't have the health. The ones that really bother me are the ones that when I walk into a restaurant and they're sitting in the restaurant and they say, Pastor, I haven't been in church for a while. I've just been, you know, so busy or so what. Well, you made it to the restaurant. You know, why can't you make it to church?
Yeah, I saw you at the football game.
That's right. I saw you there.
Whoa.
Come on. The church is an important part of what we're supposed to be. Our church is flawed. Well, they're made up of people.
Yeah.
You know, you may have a leader who's flawed sometimes. You may have people in the church who are flawed sometimes. Be patient. Be loving. Speak the truth. That's one of the things you look for. Is this church willing to bring correction when correction needs to happen? Then guess what? They may bring correction to me if I need it. But yet, the church isn't going to be you're not going to go in and find just the perfect heaven yet. You're going to find a bunch of people trying to follow Christ, growing. And so one of the things is can people be challenged? You know, Tom can attest to this. I've gotten up many, many times and said to people, if you see something in me that you think is inconsistent, come talk to me. I'm willing to hear it. I may not agree with you, but I'm willing to hear it.
Yeah.
And I'll be thankful because a wise man receives rebuke and welcomes it. So what I do if somebody rebukes me, if my initial thought is, I don't believe that, is I go and I begin to pray about it, and I go to 4 or 5 people I really have a close relationship with. For me, I go to the elders of our church. I say, somebody challenged me in this. Guys, what do you think? And they look at me and go, Pastor, you got to pray about that. You know? Or they look at me and say, Pastor, I wouldn't worry about that. That's that person's problem. So yeah, we've got to learn how to act as a body of Christ. But when you do that, you'll have a sense of I belong here. I belong in this place. What it's accomplishing, I'm a part of accomplishing. Even though I may not be part of the youth group, when the youth group's going great, I'm a part of that because I'm praying for this church, I'm supporting this church, I'm believing in this church. I'm a part of something. I don't go to all the VBS meetings. I don't go to all the VBS services that happen in the summer. But when we see, you know, 500 kids wander through VBS, I get to be a part because I'm giving to that. I'm supporting that. I'm working to see that happen. And it becomes part of what we do. And you have a sense of fulfillment in that.
And I'm thinking, Mark, for those that are maybe sitting in their pajamas watching it on the TV or whatever, they're missing out on having their gifts used to
Absolutely.
Bless others. And they might not recognize just their kind word or their donation or their gift sets. you know, which could vary from teaching a Sunday school class to helping in the nursery to whatever, aren't being utilized. And so they're not growing, and yet they're not blessing those that God would want them to bless.
You know, Mark, I had a person come to me once years ago. We had a singing group come in, and they said, I'm not coming tonight. I don't like that singing group. I said, well, come. Well, I don't like them. I said, no, go serve in the nursery so somebody who's working in the nursery that likes that singing group can go to it. Mm-hmm. Go serve someplace. Yes. You know, everything doesn't have to be about you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It has to be about us serving others, and that's where we find that wholeness of life is when we become a part of a body of believers together. So I would tell anybody out there who's lonely, if you're lonely, it's real. Go find a place to belong. Don't think you're going to be answered just because you marry somebody or you find a bunch of friends to play darts with at the bar. Go find a family of believers.
And I think that going is so important, because they want to just sit back and say, well, I want God to bring somebody to my doorstep. But their going and connecting with somebody might be what God's using to encourage that other person, which in the end encourages them.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Worship together, God's presence inhabits the praises of his people. Go worship together, go pray together, go hear the word together, go get involved in ministries together, go serve your community together, go get involved in a local church.
And listening friend, if you're one of those that says, well, I've tried these five or six churches and I just didn't find the fellowship that I needed, well, let's go to number 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. And trust me, as you pray to God, we talked about it last week, as you build that relationship with God, he'll answer the prayer. He'll find the perfect fit where your gifts can be utilized and you can grow and be blessed and encouraged and step out there. And maybe you don't want to go alone, then call up a friend, call up a neighbor, call somebody up and say, let's go to church together. Let's see what that church down the street is like. And try maybe a different denomination. Maybe you grew up as a Nazarene or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or Assemblies of God. Try a different denomination and just see what God might do in your life. And trust me, I think you're going to be really blessed, super blessed maybe even. You'll find wholeness as you find that relationship with others. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to hear it again, or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.